Random musical impressions! And there's a spider on my window. Get off my window! Stupid spider! No! Get off! It's a surprise that I'm neither drunk nor high. And I act like this. Why? Because I am so fucking bored. So fucking bored. So I decided to do whatever musical impressions that come to mind and probably either excel at them or bomb miserably at them. Okay. Or we just try and sing random songs and see if we can match the tone. Starting off with the riskiest song ever, back in the 70s. Oh dear. Oh god, I hope it ain't that same guy that walked past the car when I was out here doing my thing. I just hope that ain't, okay, that's not him. In fact, it's nobody. Okay, good. Good, good, good. So yeah, anyway, as I was saying, the hardest song that was ever made back in the 1970s, vocally. Yeah. I don't even know the words of this one. Help! Loving you is easy 'cause you're beautiful. And everything that I do is out of loving you. Oh god, that's so horrible. Loving you is more than just a dream come true. And every day of my life is out of loving you. I think I already said that. La 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 la. La 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 do 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 do. Can't do it. Oh god. No. If I would have saw a spider crawl on my leg, that would have worked effectively. But it's just like it's horrible. I can't do that whistle tone. Now, Kinky Angel 91, she could do that flawlessly. They could do that flawlessly. They used to do that when they used to record back in the last year, and they used to do a few Mariah Carey songs, and they did those whistle tones perfectly. Okay, but me, I'm just an alto. I'm just an alto, nobody loves me. I'm just an alto from a low family. Spare me my voice from this monstrosity. Easy come, Willie. Never in my life would I ever dream of messing up on Bohemian Rhapsody. And I just did that. Fuck. I went through all of my life remembering all of Bohemian Rhapsody. I mean, who doesn't? I mean, and now I just messed up. And this was part when I was little. I used to strive being just like Freddie Mercury. Even going as far as to sing like him. Probably. Yeah, just do that same vibrato that he had in his voice, you know? That crystal clear tonality in his voice is just, my heart. My heart can't take such pureness. But then when you go and listen to, some outtakes from Bohemian Rhapsody, and you hear his voice crack, that makes you think, see, this is why he sometimes dodges those notes live. Especially on the part, so you think you can love me and leave me to die. Especially his voice cracked on that part when you if you look up one of the YouTube videos, you would have to look up Bohemian Rhapsody outtakes, I think. And that's where it happens. His voice cracked. See, this proves that no singer is perfect. But I will say this, Freddie Mercury is still one of the best, even though his voice at that moment wasn't on point, because, you know, I mean, that is a very hard song to tackle. He wrote one of the hardest rock songs ever. Not in, like, the in terms of, like, from being 1 to 10 on the metal scale. No, I'm talking about the difficulty. The difficulty is just so hard. I wouldn't even dream of making a Bohemian Rhapsody by myself. I just can't. And especially, they put so much work into the... See, what was supposed to be 24 tracks in Bohemian Rhapsody, it ended up being 32, I think. 32 tracks in Bohemian Rhapsody, because they ran out of tape. I think they ran out of tape trying to record all the overdubs, you know, and that was very interesting. I was watching a thing on YouTube, the classic albums, when they did a thing on A Night at the Opera. But what am I doing? I'm just blah blah blahing about Bohemian Rhapsody when I know I should be singing it. So yeah, when I was little, I strived to be just like Freddie Mercury. I had a toy broom. I had a toy broom and I used it like a microphone stand and just walk around sashaying around just like Freddie. And I remember having that concert, the Hungarian Rhapsody concert, when they were performing live in Budapest. And it was so awesome. Alright, so yeah, anyway, back to impressions and all that kind of fun stuff. This is gonna contain a lot of rambling and less singing, so best be prepared. Okay. Bohemian Rhapsody. Oh, come on! They had so many better songs than that. No offense. No offense. Show Must Go On. The Show Must Go On. That's, yeah. Singing Tark. Okay. God, I hope I know the words. Empty spaces. What are we living for? Something faces, I guess we know the score. On and on, does anybody know what we are living for? Something like that. God, I wish I knew the words to this. As much as I love that song, I wish I knew more of the words. Because the chorus, it just like resonates with my heart. It says, inside my heart is breaking, my makeup may be flaking, but my smile still stays on. That was just the pinnacle of the whole song. And it proves that the show must go on. And what was even more sad was that Freddie was sick. Very, very sick at the time. Well, no, he was very, very sick when he tried to record Mother Love. And oh yeah, that song just hits me right in the feels. In a bad way. Because that was probably the last song he ever recorded. The last song he ever recorded, I think. And then Brian May had to fill in for him on the vocals. In the last verse, I think. Yeah. So yeah. And yeah, now I remember doing a lot of... No, not a lot. But I remember doing that song with, Nowhere Eternity. Oh, God, I miss that dude. I miss that dude so much. Oh, gosh. We only did one collab together, but that was so awesome. And when he sung his part, it was just magnifico. Or like how Queen would say it, magnifico! I can't. Okay. But no, he was magnificent on doing his, at doing that part. that Brian May's part on that song Mother Love. It was just that certain growl he had in his voice is just like, oh yes, slay me. Slay nowhere. You know, so when I heard his voice back, it's just like, oh my God. Oh my, I cannot believe he's collabing with me. I can't. That was when I was really fangirling so hard. Over his singing, not just his audios, mind you. God, I miss that dude. Anyway, yes, but, there's gonna be more impressions of me singing songs that I don't really know the words to because I have a very bad memory. Sort of. Yes. Oh, I remember, my friends and, oh God. Oh my God, back in eighth grade, when, that song Bleeding Love by Leona Lewis, so big at the time. Oh gosh, I would sing that song and my friends would keep asking me, sing it again, sing it again, sing it again. And then there's one person that said, your voice sounds like Leona Lewis. And I'm like, you couldn't be more wrong. But they were like, well, you kind of do. But I was just goofing off, honestly. I was trying to sound like her because, you know, I was just trying to goof off. And I was just trying to do this. But I don't care what they say, I'm in love with you. They're trying to pull me away, but they don't know the truth. My heart's crippled by the fame that I keep on closing. You got me open and I. See, my voice was higher back then, when I could do that impression so flawlessly. But right now, it's like, I don't care. You can't do it anymore. It's just like, back when I could do vocal runs, almost. Back when I was a Mariah Carey fanatic. I don't think I'm that much of a fanatic of hers anymore. But, she sounded really good back in the day. Very good. Very well. Okay. Yes, yeah, so I was trying to sing like Leona Lewis, and that was the part where that stumped me, where the line was like, I'll be wearing these scars for everyone to see, and I had somebody else singing with me sing that part, because they could sing the high notes better than I can. Because I was an alto in the making. Well, I was sort of an alto leaning into being a mezzo soprano, but that was way before my voice dropped, and it was just like, well, that's perfect. Right when I was around in my late teens, I started classifying myself as somewhat of an alto. Yeah, something like that, with a little hint of mezzo-soprano. But then by the time I reached my early 20s, which I am still in right now, I've became an alto. What can I say? I don't speak like one. Well, I do speak like one. And I kind of sing like one, too. Because I'm very comfortable in singing in the tenor range. Yeah, so I'm sort of a, wanting to say, contralto's pretty low. I'm just, probably just a regular alto, because I can hit some high notes, but not a lot. Anyway, yeah, but that was back when my voice was really high, or I thought was really high, singing Leona Lewis, Bleeding Love, and Better in Time. That was back when I could belt those notes, and right now I can't really do that anymore. Without my voice cracking like, ah! You know? It's the worst! That's why I never sing Mariah Carey stuff anymore. Oh, God. Oh, God. I think I nearly wrecked my voice trying to sing like her, too. No! Freddie Mercury wasn't the only singer I wanted to emulate. Mariah Carey was also the one that I wanted to be, too. Because her voice, I did not know how she could go that high and sing that great. in that register. I never got it. I never got it. But, you know, I'm okay with my alto self, you know. You got Tracy Chapman, you know, Fast Car. Yeah, it made me feel better about myself singing that song. You got a fast car. I'm gonna take it to anywhere. Something like that. And I'm not even trying to sing it right. And that's why I'm mostly comfortable in singing all male songs. Mostly Queen, because Fred is my boy. Yeah, Fred is my boy. I keep talking about Queen all the time. But no, there was another singer that I used to love listening to back when I was about around 3 or 4. Her name was Toni Braxton. Around about, let's see, about when my voice kind of deepened a little bit, but not quite much. Around the same time when I was trying to imitate Leona Lewis. I remember hearing Breathe Again, and I was trying to do that thing that she does where their voice is like, hold on. And I can't stop thinking about loving everything. See, I can't do that impersonation. I used to be really good at doing that impersonation. But now that I've kind of slacked a little bit doing those, it's just sort of, it sounds a little tone deaf, you know. I can't get you on my head to let you walk right out my life and throw it all away. Or something like that. And I can't stop thinking about. Oh god, I had fun doing that part of thinking about. If I did it any longer, I would have sounded like the Grudge. And I can't stop thinking about. Which is a funny thought, because I was instantly thinking about Ryan Higa's video when he was talking about Calvin Harris. When I met you in the summer. Where he was trying to liken his vocals, comparing Calvin's vocals to the girl from The Grudge, and the leaves turn brown. That was so funny. So it made me think of that. It just randomly made me think of that part from one of Ryan Higa's videos. There was another singer that I tried to emulate too. Christina Aguilera. Ooh, that's another one that I wrecked my voice on, trying to sing like her. This ain't no other man. It's like, hey, yeah, hey, hey, that part. And I was just like, oh my god, Melissa. You are so extra. So extra. And I'm just like, and that's where it got me when I owned a copy of Stripped. Oh, there's another one of the singers I wanted to sing like so bad, but I wrecked my voice in trying. Therefore, I have the voice that I have now. Yeah. A lot of her songs. Now, I like her. I like Christina Aguilera. Not as much as I used to, but I still got a bit of a soft spot for a few of her songs. I used to own her debut album. No, her debut album was my first. No, take that back. No, my first tape. First tape actually was Spice Girls. Spice World? Yeah. That was my first cassette tape. Yeah, the ones that I got from my dad, that I got from my dad's tape collection, that didn't count. Like, I had a bunch of Billy Joel, The Nylon Curtain, And Jethro Tull's Songs from the Wood? Songs from the Wood. Yeah, Songs from the Wood by Jethro Tull. I loved that tape so much. I think I wore it out. Yeah, I did wear it out because I loved it so much. And it was just like flutes. Flutes everywhere. Oh, fifes, flutes, pipes, everywhere in this album. Everywhere. And I loved it. I loved it. And when I grew up, I found out most people didn't like that album that much. But I was like, what's your problem? I love it. I love Songs from the Wood. That's one of the albums that were the pinnacle to my childhood in developing my musical taste. Let's see. Yeah, and also, like, every 90s kid owned. I owned a Backstreet Boys tape. And I think at one point I begged my mom if I could have an NSYNC tape, and she was just like, no. I think I wore her out on boy bands, and I didn't play enough classic rock. Now, actually, I think I wore my mom out on the White Album by the Beatles. And that was, oh gosh, I played that one to death. The White Album, especially number nine, Revolution number nine. Back then when I heard it, when I was about two or three, I was just like, that song sounds funny. What the heck? Why is there a baby crying in the background? And why are they keeping saying number nine? Number nine? Number nine? It was back then I found it hilarious. Now, not so much. I found it creepy as all hell. Still do. Revolution number nine, it was them trying to be avant-garde and sort of succeeding and creeping everybody out. Pretty much. Yup. It was just, I think my favorite song from that album was, I think Everybody's Got Something to Hide Except for Me. No, Everybody's Got Something to Hide Except for Me and My Monkey. Which was a long title, way before Fall Out Boy and Panic at the Disco ever thought about doing long song titles. We gotta owe the Beatles a lot of respect for that. Yes. Let's see what else. Oh my god. That was another impression that I could do if I sung it really quietly, was trying to sound like Janet Jackson. Especially that song, Love Would Never Do Without You. Oh, I had so much fun singing that one when I was a kid. That was back when I was gaga over Janet Jackson. Still am. And let me tell you something. Once I heard they were going to come to my town, I was just like, ah, they're coming! She's coming to Birmingham! And I was just like, oh, wait. I need to save up. Dadgum it. Anyway, yes. So, one of the songs that I thought, I don't think I could do it great, since I'm right in front of a phone mic, I don't think I could do an impression of Janet that well. Considering the Love Would Ever Do Without You. Okay, I'm gonna try. But only on the first verse, because the second verse is a little bit too high. But that never stopped me before. Okay. I only remember parts of the first verse. Offense think we're opposites. Falling in and out of love. Something. There's no easy explanation for it. always work it out somehow. Do, 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 work it out somehow. Something like that. They say it wouldn't last. We had to prove them wrong. Cause I will in past that I would never do without you. I love that song so much. And it's like, all the guys have dropped before. Oh, Lord. I love, love, love. That's my most favorite Janet Jackson song she ever did. Along with If. If was another good one. If. Oh, If. 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 Best Janet song from the 90s I've ever heard. Ever, 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 ever heard. Ever, ever, ever heard. And the choreography. In the suddenly I can't talk. Okay, so Janet Jackson's dance moves. There we go. Dance moves in the music video were just like, I wanted to dance like that. Especially, another one that was Janet Jackson's print. The. The Pleasure Principle. Oh, I was scared to do that chair dance move. Oh, God. Thinking I would break my ankle or get my butt whooped. It was either that or that. Yeah. Yeah. Thinking to myself, Melissa, if you do that chair move, you either risk breaking your ankle or getting your butt whooped. Nobody wins. So I just decided, I think I'll just watch. I'll just do that mirror dance thing. Yeah. That's the less riskiest move I've ever seen. Just dancing in front of a mirror. Just like that. And yeah, that's the safest one I could do. Chair dancing, not for me. Especially Miss You Much. Nope. 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 Nope, Janet, you make me want to dance on a chair, but you make me scared to do so. Because afraid of what repercussions it will bring. Yes. How long have I rambled? Oh, holy shit! Almost 30 minutes. I rambled a quite good bit, but hey, I had fun reliving my childhood. I have fun doing some impersonations, but mostly rambling. A lot of rambling. I don't think this is barely a post about doing impressions at all, really. Just rambling about childhood musical upbringings. Yeah, so I think that does it for me. Need to check in, go to bed, do this, do that, all that, you know. All that good stuff. And yeah, I hope you guys like listening to me ramble since I haven't done a ramble in so long. Y'all mostly heard me singing, either singing or screaming my freaking lungs out. So it's nice to have a ramble every now and then. Especially about music. You know, I love talking about music, if you can't already tell. Yes, so, it's good to be talking about music again. And I hope you all enjoy it. All this verbal diarrhea, and all this word salad stuff and verbal tongue tangles. Rah! Oh yeah, and me just going just completely just crazy. Cray cray. Cray cray! Ah! Yes. So yeah, Yeah, I oughta go. Alright. It was fun, GWA, but I got to head to bed. So long. Bye.